80 with Lafayette Sports Station 101.7.
It is the Hammer Down Show on 101.7 The Hammer, 1017thehammer.com. Hey, clap it up. 5 o'clock. Good job, everybody.
3 in the books.
On the right side of the work week, baby. That's how we do it. I'm Jared Jesulaitis. That is Clayton Duffy. Stuart Swaggart's going to come on in here in just a moment. So I'll tell you what, while we're waiting on him to come on in here, because he'll be here in just a second, why don't we knock out the roar of the day real quick? What do you think?
Let's go.
All right, let's do it.
It's time for the best plays of the day.
Yes, it's good. The crowd goes wild.
It's the roar of the day. Brought to you by the Bob Roarman Auto Group on 101.7. The Hammer.
All right, let's bring you the roar of the day. Duff and I have picked our favorite calls from yesterday. He gets a pick, I get a pick. We bring them to you. It is the roar of the day, brought to you by the Roarman Auto Group. And really only one thing going on yesterday for us, huh?
Let's go to the nation's capital.
2-0 American League on a couple of solo shots. Here is Contreras. And Wilson Contreras goes deep to left. First pitch swinging. And the Cubs catcher shoots one out. The lead has been cut in half.
So Contreras, the home run for the National League, courtesy of Fox. According to the Chicago Tribune, Contreras, the first player to homer on the first pitch of his Major League Baseball career, and also the first pitch he saw in an All-Star game. Contreras, the fourth Cub to homer in the All-Star game. Andre Dawson, 91. Alfonso Soriano, 2007. Chris Bryant, 2016.
Should have just retired right after that one.
just keep running.
You're good. You're good. All right. Let's keep it in the NL Central, where your boy Scooter hit a dinger as well.
Here's one into right. Back at the wall. This thing is tied. Jeanette. His red hot roll continues. What a year he's had.
Scooter Jeanette, two-run tying homer in the ninth to make it 5-5. Credit Fox on that call as well. And unfortunately does not work out for the NL All-Stars as the AL All-Stars win it in extras. And those are your roars of the day. All right, looks like we got some guests here, Duff. Finally.
I had to go let them in.
You forgot the door code again.
Of course, and I don't have a key.
Didn't we write this down? Didn't we put it in your phone?
I don't know what happened.
Well, you brought your dad here. First off, it's very nice to meet you, Mr. Swaggart. How has he always been this forgetful like that? Is he always, you just got to keep on telling him over in one ear and out the other?
He inherited that from me. It's a genetic thing.
I see. All right. I thought maybe this was a developed talent that he got.
It's been getting worse, though.
So. Because, you know, you were here for the Tiller years, man. You've told me sometimes where Tiller has been awfully hard on you guys, so I figure maybe it was just this is developed in one ear and out the other just for survival.
There's selective hearing, obviously, yeah. You know, right? I mean, we got something.
Somewhere your wife is listening and just nodding.
Well, I was
right
just going
right?
to say something that way, and I'm like, you know what? I better not make any comments, so... But yeah, sorry we're late. I was showing them the facilities, and I mean, we went through the whole place, and thumbs up to Foxy over there, the secretary. She gave me her keys, and we went through there.
You just referred to the secretary as Foxy.
That's her name. I know, right?
I didn't know that.
It is, yeah. But so I wanted to show my dad the facility. He surprised us last night. He's in town because he's heading to Yankton for his Hall of Fame reunion.
Oh, wow. Congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. Thank
so
you.
What do, are there any other notables that we might have heard of that are in that Hall of Fame?
Well, you remember a player called Lyle Alzado.
That's a little bit before my time, possibly.
Before your time? Okay.
You don't remember Lyle Alzado?
I don't think I do.
He played with the Broncos and Raiders.
Okay.
Yep, yeah. Well, he was D-tackle at Yankton when they recruited me. I replaced his position. So that's kind of my claim to fame is I filled in for Lyle Alzado after he graduated from college.
Now, what position did you play?
I was a D-tackle.
Okay.
Yes.
How big were you? I've seen a picture because Stuart sent us this picture. You were looking very, very buff. And you have another one, too, you showed me where it's like you and you like try to emulate that pose.
Yeah. I have a frame that I have of a picture of me posing like that and a football picture and then a picture of him posing and then his football picture and then we have a Swaggart jersey and then he's got the Yankton Greyhound dog And he's taking that this weekend to put up into their Hall of Fame over there, which would be pretty cool.
That's super cool. I dig that.
But I thought he could tell you a little bit about, you know, we were looking at the facilities now and how they've changed from whatever, but some of the old stories of when he played and how they used to treat the players back then.
You know, I remember I played back in the early 70s, and we had brutal practices, as they do now, but our coaches back then would refuse to give us water, and it would be like 100 degrees. This is out in western South Dakota, and so we go to the sideline, and we couldn't have water till after practice, and then at our training table, they gave us salt tablets, which is the worst possible thing you could do.
Yes.
So not only were we totally dehydrated, we had to chomp down on these salt tablets. I'm surprised more guys didn't die out there.
So I'm going to guess there's no sports nutritionist there either to help you with
unheard of. Unheard of.
He actually brought weightlifting kind of to, it wasn't, you know, weightlifting wasn't really around. I mean, Nebraska did it a little bit, but he kind of started his own group, I think, in high school, right?
Yeah, we got a weight machine in high school, and then we realized that, hey, we're going to get bigger and stronger. But at that time, coaches thought it would make you inflexible and slow. And so we trained on our own, though. And
what was your piece of equipment compared to what you just saw over there at Purdue?
Well, in high school, we had straw dummies. That's what we had. And I looked at their weight room today, and their facilities, unbelievable. But, you know, we had a blocking sled, was, you know, pretty much.
It was a real toboggan back then, Stuart.
Well, didn't you say you had just that machine where you could do some pull downs and a universal machine, right?
Yeah, it was a universal machine that had a bench press and a high pull and low pull on it. And then there was some 1950s globe dumbbells in there. And, you know, that was pretty much it. The room was about maybe twice the size of this room right here. Mm-hmm. So weightlifting or weight training wasn't a thing back then. Wow. And I looked at Purdue's weight room, unbelievable.
Yeah, unbelievable. That's got a little bit more room in there than you were probably prepared for.
Oh, unbelievable. I couldn't believe it.
So, you know, Raisin Stewart here, obviously that had to be a real handful. I'm sure he was a rambunctious young man. At what point did you realize that he could make a career out of football?
Well, you know, we got him started early. He was always competitive, and I think gymnastics. He was a young boy in gymnastics. I don't know, how old were you, 5?
No, I started when I was 1.
Yeah, 1.
Tumblebees.
Okay. Yeah, and he always excelled in gymnastics, and he always was competitive, and he wanted to do more than the other kids. So that kind of instilled a competitive nature in him. And then I think it also helped his confidence and his stability, balance, and strength. And from there, he was just, every sport he did, he excelled in, you know.
What was it like taking him on, because Stuart had told us a couple times, you guys would go do these college visits and stuff. You guys go around the Big Ten and everything. So what was that like? Obviously, you had been, you know, and played in college. Now you're going to see some of these big Power 5 schools and the facilities and all that stuff. So what was that experience like taking your son out and then kind of having a little bit of that, I would assume, culture shock and seeing how things had changed so much?
Oh, it was awesome. They treated us like, they treated me like a king. And Saban spent the whole day with me at Michigan State when we got down there. They had other recruits coming in. And when we showed up, he pulled us to the side. I got in his golf cart. And I spent the whole afternoon with him in his golf cart riding around the facility. They had some practice going on. So got treated very well. And I remember we had our dinners. We went to Wisconsin and the head coach.
Barry Alvarez.
Alvarez. You know, dinners were on the house, so we ordered whatever
lobster
we wanted. I think Stewart ordered 3 lobsters. So we thought, well, we're going to take advantage of this. Well,
tell them about when we met Bob Davies after the All-State banquet and Coach Forrester.
Oh yeah, we had a high school football coach with us. Brett Forrester came down and he had a few drinks before we went up to meet Bob Davies. Well, we got up in this penthouse in Detroit.
And he came in just for that.
Davies came in to recruit Stewart. So here, 3 of us walk in his penthouse, and his high school football coach starts telling Bob Davies how to coach the Notre Dame football team.
And
he was half lit, and so he kind of dominated the conversation, and we were both looking at each other, man, somewhat embarrassed.
Well, then he got a message, and he was like, "You just want to let you guys know, probably don't bring your coach to any, and hey, no love lost to Coach Forrester, but you know, we ran the option and Bob Davies ran the option. They recruited me at quarterback. And so he was kind of telling him how to run the veer, so I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we're talking with, we got Stuart Swagger here. Stuart's brought his father in, and we're getting all kinds of great stories. When Joe Tiller, when you get to meet Joe Tiller for the first time, and he's trying to talk you into getting Stuart to come to Purdue University, what was it like talking to Joe for the first time, and just your general impression of the man?
You know, Joe was... real easy to get along with, and he was a jokester. As we talked, he used to make comments about Stuart's nose, how big his nose was. While we were talking, he'd mention
right.
the fact that he had a huge nose.
He would sit there and be quiet, and he would just stare. And I'm like, what? And he goes, that is a schnoz. And I'm like,
and you still came here.
I forgot about that. Sorry, Dad.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, he was fun to talk to. Good guy. Real good.
Well, and
founder.
Then you know, obviously Brock Spak. Uh-huh. Tell him a little bit about Brock Spak and the way that...
Oh, Brock, yeah, he came up to Saginaw several times, and I mean, we got to know him as a friend, you know, yeah. almost a family friend, and quite a guy.
Chaney.
Yeah, Chaney, and it was great talking to those guys. They all had a good sense of humor. Tiller and those two guys had a great sense of humor.
I think you have to put up with him,
yeah.
right?
right.
Well, we're almost out of time here, so before we go, I'll give you the opportunity here. One good embarrassing story about Stuart that you would like to share. There's got to be something good. that you can share on this radio. I got the delay ready just in case, but...
Well, I don't know if I can share it on the radio.
Oh, no.
Can you think of anything, Stuart, where you were... caught doing something you should have?
Well, I would say the biggest...
Caught's the key word there.
I would say the biggest thing is, you know, he didn't really yell at me very much. You know, mm-hmm. he was deputy sheriff for 26 years. What was your deadlift, your deadlift record?
I did 700 in 1981. Yeah.
Yep, so he was a big, strong guy. So I just remember if he ever did raise his voice or if I did do something wrong, which wasn't a lot... typically, I always like to listen to Michael Jackson in the car, and he liked to listen to oldies. Mm-hmm. So he'd always turn that off. But if he ever did yell at me, I would go run and actually hit my mom. I remember that, right?
What, yeah, he'd take it out on his mother.
Yeah.
He didn't want to hit me.
I'd start crying instantly and go hit my mom. So I remember
wow.
that.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And they used to find me behind the couch.
No wonder he was so fast as a teenager.
That's right.
Oh, well, Swagger family, hey, guys, we appreciate you stopping on in. Enjoy the rest of the time with your son and the grandkids and everything, too.
We're going to head to CC right now as well. So.
Dude, I'm right behind you.
Yep.
As soon as we get done here, I'm
so
coming
we're gonna
over
head
as well.
So we're going to head over there to CC. My dad's going to join us, and we're excited to go check out that program.
That's going to be fun. All right, you guys have fun. I'll be over there in a bit.
All right, sounds good.
Coming up next, Jeff Brohm is our guest, the Purdue head football coach. I've got questions. Hopefully he's got some answers, so we'll find out. That's next on the Hammer Down Show on 1017 The Hammer and 1017thehammer.com.
Wouldn't it be cool if you could buy something and then if it turns out later you didn't need it, you get your money back? Okay, not all of your money, but some of it. A little bit at least. That's exactly how it works with your West Bend Home and Highway policy. We send you some of your money back if you don't file a claim all year. Plus, everything is covered with one agent, one policy, one bill, and one deductible. Turns out even your bank account can have a silver lining. West Bend.